This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME, and this is ARRL Audio News for Friday, October 22nd, 2021. The ARRL November Sweepstakes, or SS Weekends, loom large on the amateur radio contest horizon. The CW Weekend is November 6th through the 8th, while the Phone Weekend is November 20th through the 22nd. Both events begin on Saturday at 2100 UTC and conclude on Monday at 0259 UTC. The SS offers operating categories for nearly every preference. The goal for many SS ops is to complete a clean sweep by contacting all 84 ARRL and Radio Amateurs of Canada, or RAC, sections. You're allowed to operate for 24 of the 30 available hours. Some sections are harder to work than others. Northern Territories, or NT, in Canada is always a challenge, and there's a slim chance that snagging NT could be easier this year. Jerry Hull, W1VE, also VE1RM, is hoping to operate as VY1AAA for both weekends, operating Jay Allen's VY1JA Yukon Territory station remotely from the U.S. Other difficult sections to contact include Delaware, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Pacific, and North Dakota. ARRL November Sweepstakes, 2 weekends, do not miss it. Two recent Amateur Radio Digital Communications, or ARDC, grants will benefit the ARRL-affiliated Santa Barbara Amateur Radio Club and Oregon HamWAN. A $35,550 grant will enable the Santa Barbara Club to construct an amateur radio station at the new Crisman, California Island Center in Carpinteria, California, at the invitation of Santa Cruz Island Foundation. The station is scheduled to open in 2022. SBARC promotes education and training programs for anyone interested in ham radio. Oregon HamWAN, that's H-A-M capital W-A-N, like Wide Area Network, has received an ARDC grant of $88,000 to expand its digital communications network. The project aims to enhance amateur radio digital and emergency communications capabilities between Portland and Salem, Oregon. The nonprofit plans to expand its digital communications network by deploying 12 network backbone distribution sites between the two cities. Eventually, the sites will connect to the Puget Sound data ring, which currently extends from Seattle to Vancouver, Washington. The network would allow emergency management personnel to communicate in the event of a disaster, such as a major earthquake, that might disrupt telecommunications systems. ARDC is a California-based private foundation that supports innovative amateur radio projects. This is ARRL Audio News, heard in Lake County, Ohio, Thursdays at 7:45 p.m. on the 147-21 repeater, courtesy of the Lake County Amateur Radio Association. Time now for the AMSAT report. The AMSAT Annual Space Symposium and General Meeting is October 30th, and it's a virtual event just as it was last year. All are welcome. Go to www.amsat.org and click on the events link and then 2020 Annual Space Symposium to find the link to the conference, which appears in the articles. You got to dig a little bit. Everything begins at 9 a.m. on Saturday, October 30th. At 9:15 are general presentations. At 2 p.m. is the AMSAT Education and CubeSat Simulator presentation. At 3 p.m. is the AMSAT Engineering presentation. The AMSAT Annual General Meeting at 4 p.m. wraps things up. The AMSAT report comes to us each week courtesy of Bruce Page, KK5DO. team of 135 radio amateurs from four states supported medical teams volunteering for the Bank of America Chicago Marathon on October 10th. This marked the 13th year that amateur radio volunteers have partnered with the Marathon medical team to help coordinate responses, arrange for deployment of medical supplies, and provide situational awareness for the organizers. The largely flat marathon course has 20 aid stations on its 26.2-mile course, each with a medical tent. Hams are deployed at each medical tent to support communication for the medical teams. In addition to passing urgent medical and health and welfare traffic, ham radio volunteers also provide situational awareness for race organizers, for example, updating the number of individuals under care at each medical tent. Most communication is done via FM repeaters. If a runner develops a problem, spotters alert a rapid response medical team, each with a ham volunteer to handle communication. Even in an era of nearly ubiquitous cell phones, ham radio remains able to provide an independent resource that can back up all other communication. ARRL Audio News is heard in Beaverton, Oregon, Saturdays and Sundays, 8 a.m. and noon on KQRZ LP-FM at 100.7 on your dial, courtesy of the Oregon Amateur Radio Club. In his address to the IARU Region 1 workshop, Shaping the Future of Amateur Radio, IARU Region 1 President Don Beatty, G3BJ, offered some thoughts that could apply everywhere.
The amateur radio that we often talk about today is quite often the amateur radio of the past. If we're to focus on and invest in public relations, or if we're to seek alliances with other organizations, or if we set out to recruit from other parts of the population, don't we need a shared vision of what amateur radio is becoming, or perhaps I should say, should become, to have any chance of a credible dialogue with our audiences? In short, I think we need a relevant product to offer to today's generation.
International Amateur Radio Union Region 1 President Don Beatty, G3BJ, some 140 delegates attended the October 15th to 24th workshop, Shaping the Future of Amateur Radio. The amateur radio television community is relatively small and specialized. Ham TV expert Jim Andrews, KH6HTV, had an article in the October 21 QST on the topic. This week, he's been a guest on ARRL's Eclectic Tech podcast with Steve Ford, WB8IMY. Andrew says amateur television has been around for a while, but the use of digital technology has changed things a bit.
Going back in the records that I found in old QSTs and stuff, I found the first ham TV transmission dated back to about 1940, pretty much at the birth of TV. So, yeah, hams have been active with it ever since, and it's definitely one of those gifts or blessings from the FCC that allows us to run really wideband signals such as television. When I say wideband, we're talking typically 6 megahertz of bandwidth. Although that's one thing in the new digital TV, there's been quite a bit of experimentation with going to quite a bit narrower bandwidths. And some of the equipment that we're normally using with our digital television is capable of just being programmed to run on narrower bandwidths. So some of them are running down to maybe as narrow as megahertz or even a little lower than that.
Amateur radio television expert Jim Andrews, KH6HTV, speaking on the ARRL Eclectic Tech podcast, which you can access at www.arrl.org/eclectic. Some brief notes. The November issue of QST includes the article The Beverage Antenna 100 Years Later by Ward Silver, N0AX, and Frank Donovan, W3LPL. The famous receiving antenna designed and patented in 1921 by Harold Beveridge, 2BML, remains popular for the low bands as increasing sunspot activity in solar cycle 25 leads to weaker signals on 160 and 80. The article explains the Beveridge antenna's noise rejection abilities, as well as how to build a basic Beveridge antenna system. The November issue of QST also includes a special contesting insert, Contest Season 2021-2022, which is full of resources and hints to help you have your best radio sports season ever. The YASME Foundation has announced a grant to the Seychelles Amateur Radio Association. The funds will go toward establishing a facility for its recently formed amateur radio club. The YASME Foundation also announced that Steve Babcock, VE6WZ of Calgary, Alberta, Canada, is the latest recipient of its Excellence Award. The YASME Foundation cited Babcock's contributions to the art of low-band antennas and remote operating. And that's ARRL Audio News for Friday, October 22nd, 2021. For more details on amateur radio news, visit the ARRL website, www.arrl.org, or better yet, subscribe to the ARRL letter via your ARRL member profile. We always enjoy hearing from listeners. Email audionews@arrl.org. This past week, we heard from Robert, KC9YTT, in Illinois. For now, I'm Rick Lindquist, WW1ME in Ellsworth, Maine, 73, and we'll see you next time, everybody.
ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.